Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn a bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully we get to know a little bit about them personally too. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad, and I'm very excited about today's guest, Susan Stoklosa of G3. Susan is an accomplished leader with an exceptional track record in the expertise of merchandise planning, showcasing her talents across renowned companies such as Tory Burch, The Fry Company, Estee Lauder, Cole Haan, West Elm, just to name a few. In her current role as Vice President of Merchandise Planning and Allocation at G3 Retail, she oversees the D2C business of several legacy brands such as DKNY, Donna Karan, and Karl Lagerfeld Paris. Her forward-thinking approach and data-driven decisions have earned her respect and admiration of her peers as well as the senior leadership teams, solidifying her reputation as a true leader in her field. Susan is also a member of CHIEF, a private membership network for senior executive women with a company mission to change the face of leadership. Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Marcus. Thanks so much for having me.
Not only do you guys, you represent some fantastic brands, but just in your role, and I'm really excited to hear about it. But many people might not know G3 Retail Group as a company. They certainly know your brands. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about G3?
Yeah, I'll tell you about G3, the apparel group, which is the larger version of the pillar that I work in, that was founded in the mid-1950s as a women's leather outerwear brand in Midtown Manhattan. They have over 60 years of rich history, and it was a family-run company, G3, which still is today. It's evolved into a real powerhouse organization with a wide portfolio of 30 licensed and known brands, and has advanced its global expertise in design, sourcing, manufacturing, and distribution. These brands continue to fuel sustainable year-over-year growth for the company and have created deep, profound relationships with a lot of retailers across the industry. So G3 Retail Group, the division which I work in, oversees the digital and retail store performance for some of the brands that you mentioned, DKNY, Donna Karan, and Karl Lagerfeld Paris. The own brands that we also have a wide range of distributions in other retailers, so large retailers such as Macy's, Dillard's, a lot of retailers in that way. And then also I'm mainly supporting our own digital and retail store business.
Fantastic. And given the history, storied history of the brands, most of them obviously probably grew up in a retail setting. How long have you been selling directly to consumer? And talk to us a little bit about your digital experience.
Yeah. So for G3 specifically in the retail group, they have been acquiring brands along the way. So DKNY, as an example, was acquired in 2016 by LVMH. So they've been picking up different iconic brands over time. Wilson's Leather is another brand that they picked up quite a while ago. And they've been learning a lot about all the different brands and opportunities through digital. One of the incredible things I think about my role is that I'm not a marketer, but I actually get to learn a lot about our clients through the different lens that they see each of the brands through. And I think I find that as one of the most fascinating parts about my role, because most of them have been with one specific brand. This is now with a multitude of brands that we have a chance to really dig into and understand the consumers, how they're shopping, where they're shopping, and kind of the products that they're looking for, not only from my retail group channel, but also from our wholesalers.
And you mentioned, of course, part of your role is overseeing the D2C business of those brands. Mm-hmm. How do your, what kind of customer purchases directly from you versus through retail channels?
Yeah. So just to tell you a little bit about my team is that we do the merchandise planning and allocation for our retail stores. So we find that our retail clients are a little focused more on like a specialty retail store environment. So they're used to shopping at an outlet center, a traditional mall, a street location of something in the city. They're not necessarily fully always going to the wholesale channel to look for their product. So that's a little bit of the nuance between who our consumer is and versus a different channel of like such as wholesale. But we have found that people are looking for product, the best product they can get wherever they want, which gets into that seamless journey that we'll start talking about soon. But where they want, they're looking for a specific product, a specific brand, and they almost are focused on kind of getting it from any channel that they possibly can.
Correct. Yeah. In fact, that's a trend I've heard many times over the course of the last couple of years, is the importance of meeting the consumer where they want to shop for you, you know, where they are.
No, absolutely.
What are some of the challenges and tactics that you use to reach your potential customers?
I mean, if, always traditional in terms of like email marketing, larger marketing campaigns that are run actually through G3, our parent company, that we are able to leverage a lot of the assets through that, that our product supports those iconic marketing presentations, which has been really great. I think it's become more important, of course, to have that unified customer journey, regardless of where they're going. So I think the marketing realm of it really does make a huge difference for us to think about that as one brand, regardless of where you're getting it from. I do think that, you know, acquisition of the customers has been definitely a little bit of a challenge for everyone, especially coming out of the pandemic specifically, where people have been just, you know, looking for product wherever they can get it from, and keeping, if you didn't understand who your consumer was before you walked into the pandemic, it was definitely a little bit more of a challenge to leverage that customer base as you made it through the whole journey that we just were on.
For sure.
So I think that that's been like something that I've learned is like, wow, if you didn't know who she or he was shopping your brands previously, you are really lost right now.
Okay. So let's talk about how your vision of the unified customer journey has evolved since the pandemic, because that's been a big challenge, as you just mentioned. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, which is, feels like such a long time ago, thinking about how we ran brands previous to the pandemic. I think a lot of what is translated is that the consumer is moving fast all the time, and you need to move as quickly with them, but also not losing some of the strategic focus that you're looking for in terms of taking your brand. So there's things such as, you know, meeting them obviously where they want, how they would like to shop, getting the access to the product, and also thinking about the brand and breeding consistency and familiarity and trust with the brands these days. So it's not enough to just be present in multiple channels, not to just only be in a large major retailer or to be in your specialty store channel. You have to be a little bit of everywhere. And just having also the unified customer experience about returns, customer service. And I always feel, and I always have felt, because I'm in retail, that product is king. Product continues to be king. So good product really starts the whole journey for everyone.
That echoes some of the things I've heard from other marketers this year, mm-hmm. as they've shifted an emphasis to brand marketing, to sort of top of the funnel tactics and mm-hmm. top of the funnel techniques. Has that been something you guys have done as well?
No, definitely we have focused in on top of the funnel. Again, I'm not a marketing expert, but we been focusing in on that and the acquisition. But the whole customer journey all the way through and getting them through to converting has been such a huge focus for us previous to the pandemic, and really in the pandemic, figuring out how we can continue them not only to make one purchase, but multiple purchases every year, and come back to us for different product to recommend us through to other clients and consumers. Sure. And then also be shopping us where, you know, social media or leveraging any of the influencers that may be using our brands and bringing a new consumer in.
We've seen a lot of our partners shift a real significant mm-hmm. focus to ensuring their marketing to their existing customers effectively mm-hmm. to build lifetime value. It sounds like that's something you guys have been doing as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's so important to keep that lifetime value of the customer, because they keep coming back. They'll continue to recommend your brands because of the strategy that you put in place for that unified customer experience, that it's really important to focus in on that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that information comes from different places. It's not just from your marketing channel of knowing what that is. It comes from sometimes learnings from your retail store employees. It comes from learnings from other retailers. I've become a real student since the pandemic about brands, even more so than I was before, and learning how people are leveraging these different places to figure out how to have that lifetime value for a consumer and then also acquire new consumers along the way.
So what would you say the biggest challenge that you guys are facing going into 2024 is? What's top of the mind for the brands that you're managing at G3?
We are interested in adopting more tech as we move forward into 2024. I know a lot of different brands are focusing in on how they can leverage data learnings, AI, a lot of more different, you know, focused in on assortment opportunities, personalized shopping, which is a large chunk of information to really take on at one time. So the focus for us is really just digital growth and focusing in on that pillar. Not that that says anything different about a retail store approach, but it definitely is leveraging getting the consumer more engaged in the brand anywhere they want to be versus having to only go to a retail store location.
Gotcha. You mentioned AI, top of the mind for everybody in 2024. And, you know, it sounds like one of your big focuses is using that AI to increase the user experience as they engage with your brands.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say as an organization, we're definitely just starting to learn a lot about it, like most companies are. Some companies are doing a really excellent job at leveraging that data. That a lot of brands that I've been reading about, I'm really interested to see how this kind of evolves on the other side. It's such a hot topic for everyone. I think some of the things that I've learned about it over time can not only be related to consumer, leveraging consumer data or trends, but also like helping us identify opportunities in assortment or holes in assortment where we could have sold more of a product versus something else, making the consumer choice for them. There's a lot of AI technology out there that's actually really helping brands figure out what should your assortment look like, how long should things live, how much inventory should you buy to support that. And I think that for me, based on the role that I do and having that analytical mindset, is really something that I'm leaning into, as well as learning more about the consumer and leveraging all the data that comes from the AI trends.
That's fascinating. Yeah, so you're able to use AI along with the UX to help you determine the merchandising strategy, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, which continues to evolve until you get to the end market and things actually launch for you. You're building that journey the whole time of merchandising strategy of how does this launch for us? How do we move forward with this product? Is this a hero image or product for us? Should we continue to do this, or is the consumer really not resonating with it? So it's a consistent conversation that we have all the time, because it always comes back to product really at the end of the day, for customers specifically and brands that sell different types of products.
Fascinating. All right. Your customer, how are they going to change in the next couple of years, do you think?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I think from all the brands that I touch, the customers are all very, very different. So we have some consumers that may be aging out of an existing brand and maybe moving to another brand that feels more relevant for them at that time. We have, and I'll talk about Karl specifically. Karl Lagerfeld has a big following in some of our Asian countries where we don't yet have retail stores. We're learning a lot about them through some of our virtual selling tactics that we do within store, personalized shopping to consumers over there and what they're buying. So I think that they'll be coming through the journey with us as we move forward with that product. I think that some of the things that our consumers will be moving towards will also be how we'll be focusing on is how they're shopping. Are they going to start moving back to a little bit more brick and mortar? Is there opportunity to do more pop-up opportunities in some of these locations where we don't have an actual footprint there? Or do we continue to leverage our social media and growing that business and influencers and how that kind of really as it has evolved everything? TikTok has really become such a huge social commerce that I've been hearing so much about in other retailers that I think there's so much opportunity for us to leverage that for our clients moving forward.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So you guys are engaging with TikTok. Quick question for you. You mentioned pop-ups. How often are you guys doing those? And what's your experience been with running pop-up shops? With your retail experience, you guys are probably pretty adept at it.
Yeah, we've been running a couple this year, just, you know, in and out. Like, but, you know, retail space in terms of real estate has been a challenge to come by for sure. Some brands based on, you know, some of the increases in the price in the marketplaces. But it's been really good to kind of leverage and get into a new market that you haven't been in that you would love to try and test out. So that's been really exciting for us. We've done a couple in Canada. So it's a new market for us in one of our brands. And it's been really exciting to learn the difference of that consumer between Canada and actually US, or even some stores that we have in Europe as well.
Anything that you'd like to share about the differences in the customers?
They're really, for this specific brand and Carl, there's really no price resistance. They just really love anything Carl specifically. I mean, he's such an iconic designer, sure, that we really are able to leverage a lot of the, you know, the opportunity that he has for us as a brand. And any people just pick up anything related to Carl, related to Chopette, which is really cute and fun for us sometimes to really dabble in, like, very exciting marketing campaigns and, you know, gift with purchases that we can do to actually continue to draw the consumer in. Carl had passed away in February of 2019. We see a huge resurgence of people coming back, existing customers and new customers coming to the brand right around the anniversary of his death. So we have definitely been able to really focus in on that as one of our pillar opportunities, not, you know, from a death perspective, but an opportunity in terms of bringing new people into the brand.
And it speaks to the strength of it. Very cool.
No,
all right.
Absolutely.
Let me pivot my question and ask you a little bit about Chief and that organization. I know you're active within it and you believe in it strongly. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief, you know, was started in 2019 in New York City, founded by Carolyn Chilers and Lindsay Kaplan. It's a private membership network that's designed to uplift and empower women and senior women executives. They launched with a mission, as you mentioned, to change the face of leadership. And we have over 20,000 plus members of Chief members across the U.S. and I guess globally, because we do have a location also in Europe. I joined in November 2021. I met someone that I worked with at Tory Burch, who was a member, who told me a lot about it. And I was just quite fascinated about, like, kind of the strength that comes within a networking environment. And for me, people view me as a networker, but I view myself as creating community. And I feel that Chief has really helped create community among these women executives and some of them in the C-suite who feel very lonely sometimes at the top, and having people to actually talk to them, to talk with, to bounce things off of, that they want to make sure that they are able to not feel vulnerable in a situation where they're talking to someone who may judge them about where they should be focusing in on or not. This is a very open environment. Everyone's very warm and welcoming, and it's been a really fantastic experience for me. And the organization has received a lot of accolades, especially this past year, being named of Time's 100 Most Influential Companies and so Fast cool. Company Magazine's Most Innovative Companies in early 2023. So there's been a lot of really incredible press about the organization, and it's been a huge thing for me that I really, really enjoy quite a bit.
Oh, I love that. And I really love how you talk about community there, because, you know, I've had the opportunity to do business with many people over the years. I remember not as much as I should about the business that we did together, but I always remember the relationships that you develop
yes.
with people. And so mm-hmm. this gives you an opportunity to develop some very solid relationships with people that you can learn from and help one another.
No, absolutely. Relationships matter. That's definitely one thing I've learned along the way.
That is so cool. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your the ride you've been on. You've had some fantastic experience on the way to G3, as it were. What gives you inspiration, Susan? What gets you up in the morning?
I mean, I'm definitely continually energized by the interactions that I have with team members and brands. I'm a consumer. We're all consumers. And I find that, you know, learning more about what people are interested in, how they're consuming all of this information coming from all these different brands has been very exciting for me to continue to just learn about. I'm very, you know, focused in on, as I mentioned before, being a student of kind of what is happening out there now. I kind of don't think that I know it all for sure. I definitely have a lot more to learn in terms of what all the brands are doing out there and leveraging. So that's actually been kind of like a renewal for me, I'd say, post-pandemic, of really diving back into this information.
what are some of the brands that you admire outside of your own?
Right, exactly. I mean, so many to name, but I would say I think about, for me, brands originally meant product. So Tory Burch specifically is product related, but brand also is about, you know, possibly like service and just the way you feel about shopping at a specific brand such as Target. So I'm a huge fan of Target and kind of everything about their seamless and unified way that they actually really approach the ease for you to shop as a consumer. Nike is also another one that I'm actually really always a following and a student of. I think that they do what they do really well. They have iconic product, but they also are meeting you where you want to shop. They dabble in a lot of different, you know, opportunities to do pop-ups and learn a lot more about their consumer. And I think they do their jobs really well. So those are just to name a few.
Throughout your career, has there been a big challenge that is memorable that you've overcome?
I would say absolutely. There's always something that comes to mind. And I would think about, you know, times where a new paradigm was shifting within the, not just the organization, but kind of the retail landscape and how you start to think about things differently at your desk. That for me, I'm analytical, so I like to go to the data right away, but sometimes you don't have data to go to. You have to really kind of really create what could be the new set of data moving forward. And I would say for me, that's probably initially was one of the hardest things I had to learn how to do is kind of create what would be the foundation or platform for different data sets or product moving forward. But now coming out of the pandemic, having that in my background has actually been very helpful for me to think about things more blue sky approach and which is not what most people do who are data people or analytical people.
Yes,
it's hard
correct.
To go blue sky. And so think about what could be and how we kind of get there from where we are right now.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love that. So, and timely because we're sort of entering that phase right now with the sudden onset of AI and the technology
yes.
about how it's, you know, hitting us.
Always more to come, right?
It's really cool. If you could tell your younger self one principle that's been essential to your success today, what would it be?
I definitely would go towards, I'm going to say leverage your community is a huge one for me. We talked about networking before and being a part of Chief. People really want to help you. And I felt like, you know, in the past, I think when I was younger, my younger self was like, oh, I could figure this out on my own or do it myself. And then maybe I'll come to someone. But people really want to help you learn new things, bring you to a new level in your journey, help you get, you know, manage through some blind spots that you may have for yourself. And I found that I think in my younger self that I thought I could do it all on my own and you can. And you really do need that community, either at work, outside of work, family, friends, to really help you kind of pull through on the other side, because I think you're able to learn a lot more about yourself and what your elasticity is for change
sure.
and opportunity by doing that.
I absolutely love that. You know, a phrase I always use with some of the people that work with me is people don't remember what you say. They only remember how you made them feel.
Yes, absolutely.
I really love
agree.
Thank you. All right. So if somebody wants to connect with you, what's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. So definitely reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Susan L. Stoklosa, Stoklosa, as you see on the screen. And I'm happy to connect with people about the industry and talk about trends.
Oh, you're awesome. Susan, thank you so very much for being with us today. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It. And thank you for joining us today on Directly Speaking. We hope that you enjoyed the content and enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Susan a little bit better. Join us again. And until then, keep selling. Have a great day, everybody.